ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Luke chapter 10, we start this series today, The Believer's Authority, and we just start like an introduction, and then Wednesday, Sunday, for the rest of the month, we'll just take it in successions. Luke chapter 10, I need to point our attention to something. The atmosphere has been created already. We begin this series basically to gain increased understanding of our inheritance in Christ. The Bible talks explicitly that all things have been given to us, you and I, that will help us to live our lives as believers in Christ. And you know, God is an awesome God. I'll go back to the text, but let me just get this out. The Bible talks about that God does not leave himself without a witness. So God, before he created man, had the plan of salvation. And then man was brought into the scene as the steward of the heart. Not the word, the heart. The world is just the system that has been designed over the ages, the cosmos, the ages that has evolved. But God has made man the steward. So there is a divine partnership, or there was a divine partnership. There is still a divine partnership. So you have God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And that man came into that picture. God says, let us, Genesis 1:26, which we are all aware of, let us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, make man. And the principle of Genesis 1:11, the kind begat kind principle, it means God is spirit, John 4:24. So when God was going to create man, he created man in his own class. In his own image, he created him with power, with ability. As a matter of fact, man named all the animals, the first zoologist. He created him with intelligence. Man was able to harness his environment. And the plan of God hasn't still changed. So he put rivers so that man can harness energy, hydroelectric energy. He put wood. All the things in the garden so that man can get out his furniture. He put oil, everything that he needs. It's still the same principle in 1 Peter. He has given us all things that pertains to life and godly living. But you know what happened? Man missed the mark. Man looked to himself rather than looking up to his maker. And that's why even in worship, most of the time, what do? We look up. The song that we took in the course of worship today, he said, we look to Yahweh. Yahweh means the strength of our salvation. We look to the source. That's what the word Father means, the source of life. So we look to him. So man was distracted. He looked to himself. And he listened to the devil. And so he missed the mark. But when God knew that he has already missed the mark, God already made a plan of salvation. Genesis 3:15 talks about that. The seed of the woman. The seed of the woman. So God made this plan, And then Jesus came at the fullness of time. Galatians explained that. And then Jesus, took us back to how life, God designed life to be lived. Acts 10, 38. In those days, people lived as much as 960-something years. The life of God was activated and was at work in people. And over time, sin, sinful nature, the world system has reduced our lifespan. I don't even know the latest number in Nigeria. But that's the truth. But hey, wherever the life of God is active, there is longevity of life. There is 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 life. So man missed the mark. But God, because man was part of that, is a fourth person, was part of that divine arrangement, he will never let man go. He designed him for fellowship as a steward. So God made provision. Jesus came on the scene. And then when Jesus was leaving, God also still made that provision because he never leave himself without a witness. He said that when we receive Jesus, the third person of the Trinity will live on the inside of us to energize us so that we don't have to repeat the work of salvation again. That's why he says if we willingly sin after this salvation experience, he said it's like nailing Jesus back to the cross, and that can never be. So God has restored authority to us today through his church. And so in Luke chapter 10, when Jesus was around, so we start now to gain basic understanding. Luke chapter 10, as we start out this series. So if you look at the gospel, it was just Jesus showing us literally the example of what is possible, the way God designed things. He said, after this thing, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And that's the thing. We are in Lagos here. Some people are in Sagam. Some people are in Ibadan. Some people are even in Borno State this morning. He has sent the church forth where it will be. Look at when they did the exploit. Look at what happened in verse 17. He said, and the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. In other words, if you see how lightning operates, it's just a momentary flash. I saw that his influence and power over mankind is coming to an end. That's as at that time before he went to the cross. He said, but behold. So that word behold, he said, look closely. You have to gain understanding of what Jesus did. He said, I give you power to tread upon scorpion. Please, can you give me KJV? I want to point something out to us. So, I give unto you power to tread on serpent and scorpion and all over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So, if you look closely, you see that the word power was repeated twice there. In the Greek, which is the literal where these words are translated, the first word power, which is what you just read in the New King James Version, is actually the word authority. Amplified Classic rendered it as authority and power. The reason why I want to point your attention to it is that what you and I have in Christ Jesus is greater than the power that the enemy has. We have been given authority. As we go through this series, we'll see how that authority in the name of Jesus, authority in the place of prayer, authority with our confession, authority with our worship. So wherever the need becomes, we can easily apply it. But we need to come to a place of understanding of this authority. Please understand as we start this series that our faith is never a ticket to utopia. That once you come into Jesus, everything just is just sorted out. No. I mean, there is a war in the northern part of our nation as we speak. And sometimes, how do they know that they are winning war, or anyone is winning war, is when you can gain territories. In what has happened, in some of the videos that we've all seen, when people have upper edge, they hoist their flag. It means we are in control. We are in power. So the church is raising the banner of the victory of Jesus, and we occupy. That's why Jesus said in another place, occupy till I come. Do business, as recent translation says. Do spiritual business. Pray. Believe God for nations. Believe God for intervention in families. Stand in God on behalf of people. So he said, I give unto you. Challenges are part of life. That's what I'm saying. But see, what our faith does, it helps us, it equips us to overcome the challenges of life. 1 John 5:4 again. 1 John 5:4. It said, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And he said, this is the victory that has overcome. We are not trying to overcome. He said, this is the victory. Our faith in the Lord Jesus. Our faith in the work of redemption, which is complete. Our faith in the fact that his blood was shed. He rose from the dead. Our faith around his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension that has given us a position today. The Bible says we are seated with Christ in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are seated. You can use the word adoption, but hey, we have the full privilege that the Son of God has. Praise God. I said, praise the Lord. So, four in divine partnership. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and you who has received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So Jesus said, I have given you authority. That's the head of the body. I gain it. I spoil principalities and power. Don't be afraid of witches and wizards. Don't be afraid of people who do evil. The Bible is so clear in many places. Evil must bow before good. The wicked are the gate of righteous. But hey, the church must come, must understand the authority that we have, and then we must exercise it. Because it's one thing to understand the authority, it is another thing to exercise it. Exercise it where we need to exercise it. In our businesses, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our career, in our enterprise, we need to exercise it. So Jesus, the head of the church, says, I have given my body authority. The word authority means exousia. It means delegated power. Delegated power. If you have been in some official occasions, so if it's the local occasion where you have obas, what they do is that they take their, if the oba is not present, they take their symbol of authority and they put it, and the full recognition is given to that oba. If the president or governor is supposed to be somewhere and is not able to make it, I mean, they send representatives and they give them full recognition. So what we have is authority. But our authority is not just here on the earth. The Bible says God has given Jesus a name that is above every other name. And at the mention of that name, every knee shall bow of things in heaven. So the name gave us access to heaven. So when it comes to prayers being answered, we can have answers to our prayers. It gives us access here. We can cover territory. We can exercise our dominion here on the earth. And then under the earth, demons, principalities, and power, we under the earth sometimes can meet exercising our authority. David said something. He said, blessed are those who do business in great waters. Under the earth, we can do oil and gas. Under the earth, we can speak these things into place. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. You know what the Bible says in Psalm 24, verse 1? He said, the heart is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. He said, the people and all who dwell in it, their heart is the Lord's. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they own everything. And we are in divine partnership. And so when we have that basic understanding of what we have through our relationship with Christ, there is no limit. So, serpent and scorpion, Jesus was just talking about the power of the devil, demons, and evil spirit, and all his cohorts, which basically many people are afraid of in our world today. We need to realize that we have authority over them. I ask the question, does the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ have or need any less authority today than it had in the first century? You know, I hear this a lot. When people are talking about revival, in fact, we even have songs about it. They said the reason why we don't see God's power anymore is because we don't serve God the way they used to serve God. No, it's still the same power. It's the understanding of the people we have been entrusted with the gospel. It's our understanding that will help us see. You know what authority means? Authority simply means it's not you. It is the one who is behind that authority. Sometimes a card, if it's really genuine, because I've been told that everything that comes from that source should not be believed anymore, totally believed. If there is a card from the presidency and you have President Muhammadu, it doesn't have to follow you to anywhere within the territory of Nigeria. If he asks you to give it to a minister, it carries authority. It doesn't have to be physically present. So the authority behind our authority is what matters. And it says all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And he said, go therefore. Sometimes when things happen to us as believers, if care is not taken, we'll be thinking that God is just scratching his head as to what to do. No. He has given us all authority. And we need to understand it and we need to exercise it. So what is authority? Authority is delegated power that Jesus invested in his body, the church. Authority is delegated power that Jesus invested in his body, the church. Let me give these examples. I've talked about this. Number one example, policemen who direct traffic during the rush hours, they just raise their hands. And all the cars stops. These men don't have what you can call physical power to stop trailer. They can't even stop Okada. If they choose not to stop. But they don't use strength to stop traffic. They are strong in the authority that is invested in them by the government that they serve. Even the Loma people, I understand, the ones who clean on the street, if you hit them in Lagos, you can go to jail. If any one of them died, they can charge you for manslaughter. Because why? Whether that orange pullover or whatever they hear is a symbol. They have the badge. They write it there, Loma. It simply means they are backed by the law. And because they clean the street, the government has special legislation that covers them. People recognize that authority and they stop their cars. The same thing. The church has a delegated authority. You can't see them physically except God open your eye, but demons, principalities, even the devil himself recognize it. And the authority behind his name is still active. The Bible talks about something about Jesus, Hebrews 7:25. He said he lives to make intercession for the saints. You are not alone. You are not alone. Paul writing in Hebrews 13, he said he has said he will never leave you nor forsake you. Life throws things at us. But at such time, it's not, we should not feel a sense of rejection or a sense of being alone in that problem. Blessed be God, because there is authority invested by us, by the Lord Jesus, in us by the Lord Jesus. And what did Paul told the believers in Ephesians 6:10? He said, be strong. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, of his authority. There was this story of Smith Wigglesworth. Some of us, we probably have heard that story. It was one day, I mean, he lived in England all his life. He was an Englishman anyway, so he has to live in England all his life. A woman came out, he was standing by the bus stop one day, and a woman came out of our apartment. And our dog, you know the way dogs are, just ran. As the woman opened the door, the dog ran before her. And then he said, no, 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 no. The woman was just, you know, the way you just want to be civil and just say, go back, go back. So as she was doing that, Smith Wigglesworth was watching. So as soon as the bus was about to come, it was during winter, the woman just said, Jackie, go back. And the story had it that the dog, you know, when you do that to a dog, the tail just zoo, and the dog, and Smith Wigglesworth, where she was sitting, said, woman, that's the way to deal with the devil. You know, sometimes you need to be tired and be tired and be tired of where you are. And you just use your authority. This personally has also happened to me severally. I mean, I remember one vividly this morning, so I'm going to give it. There was a day I was counseling with someone, and the person sat opposite me in the office. And he was enumerating the many challenges that he had and all that. And I was just listening. And all of a sudden, I just heard, bass! The person just hit the floor. I was much concerned about him not hitting his head. And he just hit the floor. Bass! And then, from where he was seated, across my table, started wriggling like a snake. I said, oh. Somebody said, what did I do? I didn't get up. Because the Bible says I'm seated. I didn't. People were in the office. I didn't call anybody egg by meal. It's not necessary. So he just did like that, went, and then came back, and then like that in front of me. I said, foul spirit, go in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then He went solemn into a place of red. Suddenly, he just jack up and said, what happened? He said, I was talking to you. I said, yes. He said, but what happened? I said, well, you have been delivered, whatever it is. He said, I felt peace. I said, that's the way it's to be. I'm still in touch. I mean, he's still free. What am I saying? I don't have to. It's not at that time that I'm looking for my Bible. It's not at that time that I'm shouting, serpentine spirit, come out. There is no need. When we understand the authority, it's not. Those disciples, they said, silver and gold I do not have, but such as I have. He said with me this morning, I am a believer. I have something in Christ. Something tangible to make an impact in my world. Let me also say, because these things are also progressive. There was a time, Pastor Sheyi would be aware of that. We used to do all-night deliverance service every Friday. People will vomit all over the place. We'll be packing vomit on Saturday morning. And then over time, we just took a statistic and we realized that it's the same set of people that keeps coming every Friday. So the curriculum changed. You shall know the truth. Are there demons? Yes, they are. Are there principalities and power? Yes, they are. Can a demon possess a believer? No, he can't possess the spirit of a believer, but he can obsess their mind. I'm saying that to you so that you don't carry the curriculum of deliverance all over the place. You need to. Jesus defeated principalities and powers. You know, people say, oh, you don't know my family. I say, which one? Jesus said, the one that is above all. If it's actually family, you used to be Dowu, but you are now Oladimeji by choice. I used to be Olomu, but I'm now Daniel, by choice. So when you come to your understanding, things change. What is Olomu in my local thing? When people die in my village, they say my grandfather has an oracle. When somebody dies, is the spot, it's called Olomu, the spot where they speak with the dead. So if anyone dies and they want to know the reason why that person died, is that not sorcery? I'm not saying change your name, but when you come to that understanding, I mean, I'm a wizard as I'm standing. But I'm a wizard in the things of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in me, and he teaches us things to come. I don't have to chant incantation. Be still and know that I am God. So we have the authority, and we must come to that place of understanding. That's what I'm saying in this introduction this morning. Something is out of place in your family, the authority is in your lips. He said, death and life are in the power. Something is out of place in your business, the authority is on your lips. Jesus is not going back to the cross. He's spoiled. To spoil means to take back authority and then flog them out naked. And we saw the example in the book of Acts. Paul was using the authority that is in that name. And then they called these people the sons of the Sceva. Is that what they are called? So they say, we adjure you. in the name of Jesus that Paul preached. Ah, the demon said, okay. You know, if you understand your authority, there is no need for conversation with demons. You know, we used to be in that school of thought also. What is your name? And you know, because demons are their father is the father of lies. So they tell us lies. In retrospect, my name is Tatunta. Where are you from? I'm from the Atlantic Ocean. And do you know that all those people we do deliverance for, they are always from the Atlantic Ocean. They are always deputy of Satan. I've never seen anybody who doesn't say he's the second in command to Satan. So it's deception. So they said, ah, come on. Because you are hanging around these people. They said, who are Paul I know now. Ah, Jesus, the master. But who are you? They probably have said, we are the sons of Sceva. Because they are natural people. They don't understand how the things of the spirit work. And the Bible recorded that, ah, Tidimon Banoyo. Oh, serious. I will say that to you. There was one day, you remember that story. There was one day, a deliverance was a very small girl like that. So, you know, in those days, this is how deliverance are conducted. Brethren, we fold up your shirt as if there is something. So we join hands. So the person that was supposed to be delivered was standing in the middle. So join hands. And we have songs. Send down your power, Holy Ghost power. Send down your power. The power is already here. He's not sending it. He's been here since the day of Pentecost. He hasn't returned to heaven. In case you are still singing that song. So, the girl, and you know their brother, some of those brothers were very tall. The girl just stood up, turned to the first brother. Who are you? The brothers just mentioned his name. What? Slap, oh, real one. The brother just take the back seat. Push other brothers forward. Ask the second brother. Who are you? That one mentioned his name. What? Sure. And you know the way this thing, slap and then laid back on the floor. So after some time, stood up and faced the tall brother. Who are you? Oh, he said, only, where are you standing? He said, I'm not standing. I am seated in Christ, in heavenly places far above principalities and power. He said, you are a stranger in that body. And the word of the Lord says, as soon as you hear my voice, you come out of your hiding places. So I command your maneuver to cease in this young girl's body. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The soul of this girl belongs to Mutinche deliverance, or in case there, but I'm not Mutinche deliverance. I'm telling you now, it's as simple as that. The soul of this girl belongs to God. You have no, you cannot create. Devil, you are a destroyer. You can't create. God is the one who created the soul of this girl. So I command you, go. In the name. And the girl just... And then after, they led her to Christ. You know, sometimes we use the way church operate. You must be led to Christ first before you do deliverance. Before the devil is a foolish devil. You don't create that time for him. I say this lastly in 45 seconds. In all those days, so we used to box demon. I don't know where people got those notions from. So we do a deliverance. The devil would have worn us out. How us? Because we lack knowledge. That's the truth. We lack knowledge. So we may have started 9 in the morning, sometimes 4. You won't eat. You won't do anything. And then I'm saying to myself in retrospect, the person you are doing deliverance also has not also eaten. And part of the way we do deliverance is to, hey, come on, come on, come on. So the person starts to vomit. So the person was not eating, we vomit now. Am I denying that there is a devil? No, there is a devil. There are demons. They operate. When people open their lives up to them, they operate freely. Because their main aim is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come. John 10:10. And I have come not only to give life, to give it abundantly, such that when the person is free, he can also set other people free. Where was I? I was saying, telling a story. Let me stop for today. Oh, we boxed demon. Okay. So, when they wear us out from morning till evening, I don't know where people got it. Because in retrospect, there's no place it's written in the Bible that when you don't can't cast the demon out, you create a spiritual coffin. And then you ask all the demons to enter into that spiritual coffin. And this is the process. Listen to me. The next time you now want to do deliverance, you release the demons from spiritual coffin, they enter into that person first, and then before you cast them out. Does that make spiritual sense? It doesn't make sense. Until one day during a deliverance service, and somebody say, Number one, we have authority to create spiritual boxes or spiritual coffin. And then we have authority to ask the demon to enter it. And then we name it spiritually. And then we can release it. Why not cuckoo if we recognize that authority? Why not cuckoo ask the demon to go once and for all? Knowledge. And I'm saying this to you because there are many people that are still being deceived today based on this. I recently was reorganizing my library and I saw some where I've burned the books. 21 things a deliverance minister should know. If there is demon now, let them come out. There is no need. If there are witches now and they want to be set free, let them come out. We don't need special prayers. Because what we have is delegated authority. Darkness cannot stand light. In closing, that is it, as you go this way. And please, study against next week, Sunday. How many of us did our Bible reading very well? You did it. Can I see your hand? God bless you. We've completed it since last week, Sunday. Can you do Ephesians, the whole book of Ephesians this week? There are just 6 chapters. So you can read it over and over again. Just do it. Because the book of Ephesians highlights our authority in Christ more than any other epistles. If you can have a good grasp of the book of Ephesians, your progress, the Bible talks about it, is that the evidence of your progress will appear to all. I pray that this week will be a week of blessing, a week of divine favor, a week where your authority, you will exercise it in your business, in all the things that you have to do. Nothing will threaten you this week. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Whatever it is that is of a concern to you, I speak freedom to you. I speak liberation in your spirit. The Bible says the spirit of man is the candor of the Lord. I speak illumination to your spirit. You will know what to do. You will know how to do it. You will know with clarity with whom to do it. This is a week of blessing, a week of open doors in Jesus' precious name. God bless you. Have a lovely week.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more,